Brother Ken told me that it was so easy, probably perhaps to explain, but I told him that it's perhaps one of the most profound verses too, and that it wasn't a lot of time to speak about it. So I was thinking to just cover some other issues regarding this subject in John 3:16. So we know that we read in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I was thinking, you know, this morning, this verse is quoted in many languages. And just to think about this nation, how many people they know it by heart, and yet perhaps not really take it into their hearts. Because we know that it is a great difference to know a verse that to take it into thy heart and avail yourself of the goodness of God, his grace, his love, his compassion, his pity, his mercy on a ruined sinner. There is a great difference just to to say it than to really understand the love of God that passes knowledge. And I was thinking, gonna speak a little bit about this. He says, for God so loved the world. And if we turn to 1 John chapter 4, we know some expressions similar. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God to us, because that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. It is almost similar expression, isn't it? And to think that in this was manifested, and what was manifested, you know, somewhere I put it this way, in this was clearly shown, revealed the love of God. And what was manifested? Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Isn't that marvelous? Oh, just to think about the love of God is so wonderful. But think of this, the Father himself sending his only begotten Son. And that's what we have in verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Isn't that marvelous? Intimate relationship from past eternity. We have read in Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. A son is given. In the past eternity, God had in mind to send his only begotten Son into the world, that it was going to be the only remedy to to have that sinful world to be saved. There was no other way, even the law, even many things that they were brought up in the Old Testament, how many thousands of sacrifices they were sacrificed, and none of them can put away sin. And the Father had in mind to send his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him, and that he might be the Savior of the world. Oh, what a wonderful love that the Father has manifested by sending his only begotten Son into the world. And that is an expression too that we should take a knowledge of it, the only begotten Son. You know, once we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the power to become the sons of God. It says in chapter 1, for unto his own he came, but his own received him not. But unto them that believe on his name, to them he gave him the power to become the Son of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ was the only one to share that intimate relationship with the Father. Yes, we can be adopted. We can, once we receive the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, we can be part of his fellowship. For this is the fellowship to the Father and his Son. And but that is an intimate position that the Lord Jesus Christ had throughout all eternity, to be in the bosom of the Father. None on this world can share that blessing, to be in the bosom of the Father for past eternity. And then the Father sent his Son, and then the Lord could say in John 17, I have finished thy work. Let me quote it. I had glorified on earth. I have finished thy work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with thy glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before the world was. Can you ever think about that? Many people think that the Lord Jesus Christ was a created being like we are, that he became the Son of the Father when he was born in a manger. But as we had quoted in Isaiah, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. A son is given from the past eternity. The Father has given his Son to be the Savior of the world. Now we had a couple of pictures in the Old Testament which the Father has sent his Son. We had the first one in Genesis 37 when Israel sent Joseph to his brethren. What a beautiful picture we have there. It is one of them in Genesis 37. And verse 13. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Go on, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me words again. So he sent him out of the veil of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. So what a picture we have there. The Father sending his Son to his brethren. And we have another picture in this morning, as we read in 1 Samuel chapter 17. It wasn't commented, but we're going to speak a little bit on that. In 1 Samuel 17, and verse 17. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah, and this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheese unto the captain of the 1,000, and look now thy brethren fair, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they, and all they, the men of Israel, were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, and led the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the hose was going forth to the fire and shouted for the battle. Oh, what a beautiful expression we have in the Old Testament, the Son, and I mean the Father sending his Son. And we know in these two old examples of the Old Testament, they fall really sure of what there was going to take place as a result of sending them to the brethren. We know Israel didn't know that Joseph was going to be cast out in a pit and sell by Ishmaelites and then go to Egypt. If he had known what is going to take place with his son, he would have kept it at home. Same thing with Jesse. He didn't know what is going to was going to happen with his son David. We know that it's going to be judged by his brethren, and he was going to face Goliath, the enormous warrior. And we know that David had trusted in his Lord, but I'm speaking about Jesse had known what is going to take place with David. He could have kept him too, shepherding the flock. So God the Father knew what is going to happen with his son. He knew right before he was going to send him into this world what the Lord Jesus Christ was going to suffer on the cross. Israel didn't know. Jesse didn't know what was going to happen with their sons, with David and Israel, with Joseph. But God the Father knew what is going to happen with his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was going to be betrayed. He was going to be ridiculed. He was going to be scourged, spit upon, blasphemed. That he was going to nail to the cross. He knew all that. And yet, his love for you and me, it was going to be greater than our sins. For the Father has sent the Son. He doesn't say a son. He say the Son, the only begotten Son, to be the Savior of the world. Oh, what a love for God to a sinful and ruined world. Now, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, whosoever applied to you and me, and whosoever might come to realize that he is the only way of salvation, to appropriate yourself, the Lord Jesus Christ, in your heart, is to believe in him, that person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only, and this is life eternal, say the Lord Jesus Christ, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Isn't that wonderful? It is the blessing we find in him only. It is wonderful to know the scriptures, but if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, is not going to be a much blessing for you. It is the person of Christ. It is the work on the cross. Paul could stay in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that he didn't, let me, he didn't want to know anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. To him, it was the Lord Jesus Christ, his blessing. Well, and now this expression, the world, For God so loved the world. We can see that the world is expressed in three different ways. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 16, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came to this world, this global planet that we are living in, is that we're referring to the planet of Earth. And we had the expression about the in 1 John chapter 2 of the system of this world, that you should not love the world. Let me see, we have it in 1 John chapter 2. In verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, there is not speaking about, for God so loved the world. He is referring to the system that man has set up apart and independence of God. Look at the whole system that is around us. You know, yesterday I went to take my daughter to work, and I saw the parade that it was celebrating in Florida, and you know, many people there, and I saw many people smoking and supposedly celebrating Christmas. And this religious world, you know, they celebrate the birth of Jesus. But you know, they don't really understand the position that they are, that they need to know that they are sinners and they need a savior. Well, that is the world system that we are living on. Look at the sports. Look at the music. You can name it. It's everywhere. It's every place. There is no thought for God at all. There is no fear of God. Everyone is going astray. Everyone turning to his own way. There is no willingness to respond out of their hearts to a loving God. They rather live their own ways, their own lives, and no fear for God. So that is the world system that we are living. Now, in order to back out this expression of love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let's go back to John 15. When the Lord Jesus Christ could express greater love, had no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. It's in the same chapter in John 15. Just to know that this is a different expression about the the world that we have in 3:16, verse 18. If the world hates you, ye know that he hated me before he hated you. If ye were of the world will love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And you know, once you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're gonna suffer persecution, objection. Even among your own families, you know that the Lord came not to destroy, but to cause division. You're gonna feel it even among your your family. Now, in chapter 17 of the same Gospel, John 17, verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, Even as I am not of the world, verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So we know that the prince of this world, it is the devil. And you are subject to the prince of this world. Let me tell you something, there is a greater master and is worthy to be followed. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ could have stated, I think in yes, he could have stated in verse in chapter 14, verse 30, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. You see, there is separation, and you have to understand that, for God so loved the world, but he's referring to those that he has created, not to the world system, in which the prince of this world is the ruler. So what a difference. Your burning desire is to music, to any other thing, to sports. You know who is the prince. You know, I was really shocked that they use the Lord's Day for pleasure, for enjoyment. Isn't that marvelous? But that's how this world it is. They can enjoy, have pleasure, they may have fun, you know, you can spend a lot of money to see a game, to watch a game, and to watch a concert of music, or whatever, you can mention it, whatever you might feel be attracted to, and you know, that's how the world is. They don't have a thought, they don't respect the Lord's Day anymore. There is no fear of God. What a thing. So that's why the Lord said, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. There is a separation from the world system, which the prince of this world, it is the ruler. But let me tell you something, there is a greater master that is worthy to be followed. The Lord Jesus Christ says, you cannot follow two masters. You cannot follow two masters, because we want to love one more than the other. So it is worthy to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, even though you might say that is a kind of boring life. But let me tell you something, it might be boring, but it's worth it to be followed, because we found blessing, peace, joy that the world cannot give you. Oh, what a marvelous thing. So we have the for God so loved the world, but it's talking about those people, the creator that they have created, that he loved, not the world system. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. You know, many people said that I can enjoy my life as much as I want, and I die, and that's the end of this story. But let me tell you something, the word of God says something different. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. Oh, you know, we look at those two men in Luke 16, you know, the Lord stated really clear, the rich man and Lazarus. One, they both went to pass to eternity. One was in torment, the other one was in the bosom of Abraham. What a contrast. You see, don't think that when you die, it's going to be the end, but it's going to be either the beginning of eternal punishment or to be with the with the Savior for eternity. Whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, what a wonderful thing to know that we can have everlasting life even now. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5 to see this true reveal. Here's the promise that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should not perish but have everlasting life. But once you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you possess that everlasting even now. Even now. So what a wonderful thing to know. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. So you know. Those that they have come to the knowledge of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we should know that we possess everlasting life. We have it now. Isn't that wonderful? Like Brother Bill stated that in the Old Testament, saints, they didn't have the true assurance of that everlasting life, even though they knew Jehovah of the Old Testament, even though it was his people, his nation, but they didn't know the assurance, the security of having everlasting life. Only the Lord Jesus Christ manifested this truth, first of all, to Nicodemus, and then the Apostle John writing to these saints, to these brethren, he's declaring them that if you believe in the name of the Son of God, you know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So what a wonderful portion we have. Now, verse 20 of the same epistle, chapter 5. And we know that the Son of God is come. We know that the Son is come already, and hath given us understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So what a wonderful thing that we know the Lord Jesus Christ and that we can possess eternal life. Now, let's turn back to John chapter 3 to close with one verse. Thus, the end of the chapter, John chapter 3, verse 35. The Father loved the Son. That is the spring of every blessing, the springboard of every blessing. God is love and God is life. That's his attribute. You know, when you are not saved, you can say, oh, I love my brother, I love my sister, I love my wife, but you know, let me tell you something, that is not truth. You might feel affection for your sister, for your wife, but you don't know what is love. And perhaps in terms of human intelligence or words, you might express love. That I love my mom, my sister, my wife. But it's not until you know the love of God when you start entering into what is love. You know, let's read one verse in 1 Corinthians 13. We still have time. That's the love chapter, but it's something that really struck me several years ago. In John, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3. Well, let's start with verse 2. It is worthy to read it. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have no charity or love, I am nothing. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have no charity or love, it profit me nothing. Now, look at this verse. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envy not. Charity vaunted not itself. It is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. It is not easily provoked. Thinketh not evil. Thinketh not evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Bear all things. That means if somebody killed my brother, if somebody killed my son, yes. He said he bear all things. That's what happened with the Lord Jesus Christ. We were guilty of his crucifixion. That was, we were reading yesterday in Luke 10 in the Good Samaritan, and I read one stand of one of the Spanish hymn books when it was our guilt that we pierced his eyes, in which humanity might be blessed. Oh, what a wonderful thing. We were guilty to be crucified, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. He bore all things, believed all things, hope all things, endure all things. That applies to the Lord. Endure all things. Even against his crucifixion, he was always subjected to the Father. How does he say in 1 Peter 2? You don't need to turn to it, but it is wonderful to see that when he reviled but who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteously. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Even though he was suffering unrighteousness, you know, he bore all. He was in subjection to his Father. So, the Father loved the Son. And he knew what is going to take place with his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when they were going to nail him to the cross. And the Father's love is the springboard of every blessing. Now, therefore, do my Father love me because I laid down my life? No one take it again, but I laid it down myself. And that's why the Father loved the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was obedient unto death. And the Lord Jesus Christ loves us. And now, let's read one verse in John 16. Verse 27. For the Father himself loved you because you have loved me. Have you realized that the Father has the same love that the Father has bestowed upon the Lord Jesus Christ is the same one that has bestowed upon us. He says, for the Father himself loved you because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Oh, what a wonderful thing to know that the same love that God the Father has for his Son is the same love that the Father has for us. What a wonderful thing. Now, let's close with this verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You know, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? You have everlasting life. You don't want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abiding on him. And let's look at a verse in Acts 17. Acts 17, because, you know, we get astray when we say, oh, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But now let's, what is going to happen if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Acts 17. Verse 31. Well, let's start with verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, or has tolerated, in other words. But now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he had appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Do you see the contrast? There's the other side of the coin. There is love. But if you reject that love, that mercy, that grace, there's going to be judgment and the wrath of God abiding in you. So I hope that you meditate what we had tonight, the love of the Father, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the consequences of rejecting him as the Savior. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank thee tonight for thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that thou hast provided the remedy, the remedy to be secure, to find the refuge, the hiding place, thy mercy, thy grace display in thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has burnt the fire, the judgment, so we can walk free. It cost thee, thy Son, but we thank thee that even though the gift of God, it was free for us, but it cost thy Son. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much that he was willing to die for us. And we know that the Father and the Son went together in that event on Calvary Cross. We thank thee for thy love, thy mercy, and we pray that if there is anyone that hasn't put their trust in thee, Lord Jesus, they might do so before it's too late, before the door of grace is shut up forever. So we ask thy blessing upon thy word tonight, and we ask thy mercies as we go back home. In thy precious name, Lord Jesus, amen.